Welcome to the show. It is what we call Hall of Fame Friday. We'll let you know what that means in a little bit. But right now, you're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray. That's Tal Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and yes, it is a Hall of Fame Friday. The weekend is here. The playoffs are in the air. So give us a call. Join us, 718-664-9098. Like always, we'll take your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com, RAEANDTAYtoday.com. Very cool site, very interactive. Check out the poll questions and, you know, keep in contact with us. We love it, and we just thank all the listeners. It's, you know, we're having fun, man. It's the playoffs, and it's exciting time. Baseball starting, a lot of going on, hockey, so Ray, let them know, man. They can get us at Twitter and Facebook at Ray and Tay also. But let them know what we're doing on this Friday, man.
So like Tay said, it's very interactive. So if you've got some topics or things on your mind, let us know. But here's what we've got scheduled for you. So we'll start off with our normal look around the sports world with breaking news. Then we'll get into these NBA playoffs, some interesting developments. Some series are tied. Some series are as we predicted, some series are completely unpredicted. So we'll get into that, some NBA playoffs. Then, like I said, it's Friday. So we're going to go through our segment of Hall of Fame Friday. And this Friday, we're going to look at all the teams still left in the playoffs and see who, if anybody, on those teams is Hall of Fame worthy. And Tay and I both have a warm feeling in our hearts for the Hall of Fame now that our boy Bernard King has made the NBA Hall of Fame. So we started a petition about 9 months ago, Bernard King for the Hall of Fame. We got quite a few signatures. And, you know, one of the best scorers and team leaders of his generation, and that's throughout the 80s, is a Hall of Famer. So kudos to that. So we're going to look at who else needs to join Bernard and the rest of the folks in the Naismith Hall of Fame. So that'll be fun. We'll limit it to the playoff teams, so we'll really get into some dialogue on who it is that should be in the Hall of Fame. If you have any suggestions, let us know. Tweet at us, Facebook, email, Ray and Tay Today on every on every outlet, whether it's Gmail, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Facebook. Hit us up.
And then SoundCloud, YouTube, we're everywhere.
Whatever you want, you can find us. Ray and Tay Today. That's RAEANDTAYTODAY. And then we'll end this segment with Major League Baseball. We'll go around the league. We've got, again, some interesting happenings. The umpires have been under scrutiny the last couple games. We've got some injuries. We've got some first-place teams that weren't expected to be there, some underachieving teams. So we've got a lot to talk about in baseball as well. But let's get into the breaking news, Tay.
Well, Ray, listen, I'm going to set it off with the NHL. Just want to give everybody a little update of what's going on in the playoffs. We got to give the Chicago Blackhawks a congrats. They won the first round series against the Minnesota Wild 4-1. So kudos to them as we look at the Western Conference. Anaheim is up on Detroit 3-2. So we'll see how, you know, that series finishes up. And, you know, Detroit's scrambling. They're trying to see what they can do, but I don't know. And then, of course, those San Jose Sharks swept Vancouver. Oof. 4-0. That's rough. I feel bad for Vancouver, but San Jose is a tough team, man, and this might be a year where they turn it around. Then the LA Kings, they're now up 3-2 on the St. Louis Blues. So it was 2-2, and then they took it 3-2. They were down 0-2. So that's interesting to see if the Kings are like, hey, we're going to hold on to our defending crown. Then out east, a battle, 3-2 Pittsburgh Penguins over the New York Islanders.
That's
the Islanders, yeah, the 1-8. The Islanders are hanging in there, right? Well, you know, they're doing it for us, man. I'm kind of excited for that.
They're doing it for the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum, that horrible arena that's going to be, you know, empty next year.
And then how about the Senators? Okay, we talked about this at the number 7 seed, beating the 2 seed Montreal Canadiens 4-1. Ottawa is just they're hot at the right time, and you like to see that and some upsets that we did predict that could go down in the playoffs. Then 2-2, let's see what happens tonight with the Rangers and the Capitals in the 3-6 series. This is probably going to go the wire. They're battling. And then last but not least, the Bruins looking to finish them off. They're up 3-1 on the Toronto Maple Leafs. So just a little
matchup.
Yeah. Just want to give everybody a little update on what's going on in the hockey. You want to hit them up with some of with the golf, with the Players Championship? Player?
Yeah, so they got the TPC.
Player?
Yeah, so, you know, it's
El Tigre.
Yeah, well, first of all, Sergio shot 7-under today, so he's leading at 11-under. Tiger's second at 10-under. And Kevin Chappelle, no relation to Dave Chappelle, is tied for third with Lee Westwood, both at 9-under. So that's a decent leaderboard. And you've got Palmer and Wittenberg, Johnson and Kuchar, you know, all right behind them. So you're at the halfway point. Interesting developments, you know, Sergio and Tiger. When's the last time those two have been leading at the, you know, at the halfway point of a golf tournament? So
exactly.
Those were considered to be, you know, Sergio is one of those guys that was, you know, the
a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Right, was the up and comer, right? The young Spanish star. So let's see if he can hold it together for four rounds, because he's put together some 2-3 round tournaments. But
he disappears
really
though, yeah.
Yeah, and he said jokingly, he said, well, maybe I'll never win one, you know, one of these majors. And this is obviously not a major, but it's considered, a, you know, definitely a high-profile tournament. So, yeah, so we got some golf. What else is going on?
I wanted to tell you about the Seattle group. They are raising the ante on their bid, an extra $75 million to try to get the Sacramento Kings. So it's getting really interesting in the sense that, you know, this is Chris Hansen's ownership group. If they can, I guess, do, you know, more than what the new Sacramento group can do, that's a lot of money, $625 million. Yikes. I don't know, man. You hate to see Sacramento lose out, but $625 million, Ray,
but I
want to
know, what's the deciding factor? I mean, is it money? Is it strictly money? Is it who gives the best offer? Because one of the things that
Sacramento
has problems,
right?
Is the new arena. You know, and the fact that the Maloofs and the city never really got along, and they never got what they wanted. And Arco was built back in 1984 when they moved from
Kansas City.
So is it just doomed to failure? And the other thing is, to me, they need to resolve this once and for all, because we talked about this before, but one year at a time is really unfair to the fans first and foremost, but even on a human level.
To the owners, the players, the families.
The owners, the players, the administration, the staff. I mean, you know, granted these guys are well paid, so I'm less worried about the players, but still they're people. They put their family, they have children, the kids are
in
kindergarten
school,
or wherever, and, you know, they need to know where they're about to be employed. Right, especially if you want to sign somebody to a long-term contract. You could argue when you're a major professional athlete, you can be traded. That's true, but you also get free agents who commit themselves for 4, 5, 6 years to a team, a city.
To a particular team and city, right?
Yeah.
No, you're right. I think Stern's aware of this. I think he wants this to get settled before he leaves in February. So I think they're going to – I hope they resolve it during the summer. You know, so we'll see about that. Obviously, for those who don't know, Eric Gordon undergoes surgery on his ankle. We'll have to see if D. Will does, you know, does the same. You know, so there's some stuff going on, you know,
get it done
in
now.
Basketball.
That's all I can say. In May.
Get it done now. Get it done
out
early.
Of the playoffs, get it done.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It looks like the Timberwolves, and this just breaks my heart, are going to release Brandon Roy, who, you know, wanted to try to come back for the last couple games of the season and just could never, ever make it. And it just looks like his career is probably over, and it's a sad situation with that. But you know what I am excited about? I'm excited about the mini camps. 23 teams today started their mini camps, and oh my goodness, I got to tell you, hot off the presses, Carlos Dansby signs a one-year deal coming back to the Arizona Cardinals. Whoa, ladies and gentlemen. He was probably the best defensive free agent out there. He was with the Cardinals, then went to the Dolphins on a big deal. The Dolphins let him go, and now he just re-signed with the Arizona Cardinals. Look at that. That's a good move for them, Ray. That's a big pickup.
I like it. Well, also remember that Darrell Washington is going to be suspended for 4 games.
So exactly,
he's got,
first four.
Substance abuse issue or substance abuse suspension, or is it performance enhancing, or did they say what it is?
I thought it was performance.
Okay, the drug policy violation.
But he's been having some issues all over the place.
Exactly.
Did you hear about the Niners, though?
And he's a free agent, so he's going to be in his free agent year, right?
So, so he better play ball this year.
Right.
And they drafted
Minter.
Well, they agreed to it's just money, ladies and gentlemen, all in sports, a $220 million naming rights deal with Levi's. Oh, my gosh.
220? How many years?
Are they playing in Levi's Stadium? I mean, is this what's going on? And Gronkinator, looks like he's going to have maybe a fourth or even a fifth surgery on this forearm. Hey, yikes. I don't know. The Patriots, they better hope this Dobson kid and these other receivers are really good. Hey, I got to tell you, I'm kind of excited for us local, you know, for the Jet fans. And obviously, Ray and Tay, we're coast to coast. We cover the globe, but, you know, in Phoenix and in Scottsdale and in New York. But Geno Smith. I'll tell you, the three rookies that everybody talks about, right, this year, it's Manti Te'o, Geno Smith, and Tyrann Mathieu. Well, today they all went to camp. Geno Smith, he's wearing number 7, Ray. That's big in New York, right? You got Ron Gobert in history, Ray. You got Mickey Mantle, Carmelo Anthony. So number 7, because he wore 12 in college, and that's Joe Namath. He can't get that. But number 7, that's a big number. You know, so we'll see how these guys.
Number 7 for Geno Smith.
I think he's going to get it. He's going to get the starting job. He looked good the first day. The ball's coming out strong. He's didn't even let Matt Sims get any reps. Basically, it's his job to lose. It is definitely his job to lose, and it's just interesting. Manti Te'o, you know, I get tired of hearing these press conferences. They keep asking the kid the same stuff. It's like, look, it's over with. Can the media just let this stuff go? He's there to play football. I mean,
they can't. They can't.
It's childish. I don't know, man. For me, I'm just like, look, let the kid in. Look, and right now, nobody wants to sign Tebow. I don't feel sorry for him because it's too much drama to have him on your team. And unless the kid says, I'm willing to play another position, why would you bring him in? Belichick's like, I can't stand, you know, I don't want any of that. And, you know, so, you know, that's just a little taste of all the comings and goings and, you know, training camps heating up. We always talk football on our show, so we'll be talking more of it as it goes on. And it's going to be fun, man. It's definitely going to be fun. But
well, you know, the other 7 that comes to mind, back to Geno Smith, is Kenny O'Brien. You know Kenny O'Brien.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Davis.
Of course. 83 draft, baby. I can't, yo.
Oh, that. Speaking of which, that I don't know if you saw
Wesley
that.
Walker.
The 30 for 30.
Altoon.
And how that draft just changed the way football, you know, the shape of football for 20 years, considering, you know, Elway and Marino and a couple stops in the USFL, but Jim Kelly coming back. And it's funny because every one of those guys, you know, maybe with the exception of Todd Blackledge, but every one of those 6 had some real success. I mean, Kenny O'Brien, you knock him, you know, he did good work in New York.
He was great.
He even went to a Super Bowl. And obviously, you know, the big three, I mean, and then there's Blackledge, and obviously the big three, you know, have plenty of success with Marino, Kelly, and Elway. But what a draft class that was.
No, no, definitely. We've talked about comparing the last year's group with the big three, you know, RG3, Wilson, you know, Andrew Luck, Wilson,
yeah,
and RG3, plus Tannehill and Wheaton. Comparing them to that class, and then also the Rivers, Roethlisberger, and Eli Manning draft class. So we shall see, you know. But hey, people are like, well, right now you're going to be like, well, don't forget about the Cam Newton and Kaepernick draft class, because you know they're going to make a claim at this before it's all said and done. You know, it's I don't know. It's all going to be exciting, and football is coming. But right now, you know what? It's NBA time. Just for, you know, tonight we'll start off, obviously, you've got the Bulls and their issues. No Dang, no Rose, no Heinrich again. Game three in Chicago. What are you thinking? I mean, what's your – like when you think of the Bulls coming home and you think about the way that they lost in game two – which it almost doesn't really matter, right? They did their job. They stole one. Now, you stole one, and then they, like, came back and slapped you for stealing it. But, like, this first quarter, Ray, the Bulls have got to make a statement. They got to say, we're home, we've got the energy, and they've got to, you know, they've got to, like, knock LeBron off his block once. And just, you know, not get the technicals, but just say, you know, we're coming back to make this a series, or else the Heat could just run all over them real quick.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but you might be onto something. Not that I hate to say you could be onto something, but I hate to say from the Bulls' perspective that their series or their season might be contained in the first, you know, 5-10 minutes of this game. Because if they don't put up a fight, they don't necessarily have to win the game, but they need to not get blown out. And, you know, because the downside is they get blown out in three, they lose in four, and they get blown out in five. So they lose. It's like the Philly Lakers finals of 2000, the first of the three, you know, the back-to-back-to-back the Lakers won, when Philly went and stole game one, and then the Lakers woke up and were like, what? The Philadelphia 76ers?
Oh, we lost?
We lost with, you know, with Allen Iverson, and really that's it. Dikembe Mutombo, Eric Snow, and you know, Tyronn Lue. So, Tyronn Lue was on the Lakers. Remember, he stepped over him, you know, in that
first.
But, no, I think that's why that you're absolutely right. I think this first half, especially for the Bulls, is critical, and they have to not get blown out. And like I said, they don't have to win. They don't even have to win the first half. They don't have to win the first game, but they have to be able to take a blow. Because Miami smells blood. Miami was shaken a little bit in game one. Their confidence was shaken a little bit. Not that they don't think that they could win the game, but you know what? They snuck up. You know, David and Goliath, you snuck up on them. And the only reason that they're David and Goliath is because of injuries, right? Chicago has got a great team, and I love Thibodeau, but, you know, without Dang, Heinrich, and Rose, especially considering that LeBron and Wade are their two best players, and you lose your three best guards and your three best defensive guards and, you know, swingmen, that's hard. You know, I really think that they need to get Dang. I mean, look, I don't even know if they'll get Dang back for the series. They need to get
Spinal Tap
three back. Yeah.
Gosh, he's been
and
going
even if he
through
does
it,
come
man.
Back, the guy's been in the hospital for the last four, in and out of the hospital.
He lost 15 pounds. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know if anything out of him. And again, Noah's not 100%. Nobody is at this time, but he's really, you know, he's at 50-60% with that wheel of his. So very important for Chicago to stay in the game and stay close in this first half, and then, you know, hope that they can lull Miami into some bad shots, some long rebounds, you know, and hopefully Boozer, Noah, Gibson give them enough up front that they can take care of that one weakness that the Miami Heat have.
Yeah, you know, the one thing about this series that I think is interesting, I mean, you see Bellinelli and Robinson really stepping up for the Bulls, and I just wish we could stop all the talk about Rose, and Rose can just say, look, I'm not playing. Don't keep it open like this, because if you're probably not going to do it, so then why keep the questions and the talking and the hope? You know, I mean, practicing, shoot around before the games. Like, it just doesn't – it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I'm not saying that he should play, but just say that if you're not going to play, then just say you're not going to play. That's better than to just sort of be – kind of, you know,
right.
I don't
the fans,
know.
Or think about the Chicago. I mean, we're basketball fans, but think about the Chicago Bulls fans that live and die with the Bulls. They're just killing themselves.
Yeah, no, it's got to be a slow form of torture, because you're like, wait a minute, we're 1-1 with the Heat. If we just had Rose and these guys come back healthy, you know, let's say if Dang and Heinrich, you know, let's say forget Game 3, but Game 4, if you could get on Sunday. You know, happy Mother's Day. Here's D. Rose, Heinrich, and Dang. Let's go, baby. Let's go to war. I mean, that's what I would be screaming for. So, I don't know. I actually think that the Heat are probably going to win tonight. I still I have the Heat in six, and I won't change that. But I definitely think if the Bulls want to push it, you know, all the way, they gotta get it tonight. But I could see the Heat doing really well. And, you know, when LeBron gets to penetrate, and if D-Wade is, you know, feeling healthy tonight, you know, they got some rest. They didn't get the ridiculous rest like the other two games we'll talk about for Saturday. That's just ridiculous. I mean, they play Tuesday, and then they're all the way off to Saturday. That's, like, crazy, that type of rest.
Who's doing this scheduling? Why wouldn't they
Yeah, they should have played. Well, they should be playing tonight, and then tomorrow night, you know, should have been. But, right, yeah, to have no one play on Thursday – you know, that's kind of
like
it was a presidential address
or an election.
I know it wasn't a national holiday. It wasn't any football. You know, it's not. You know, they're not up against anything. It's not Thursday night baseball game of the week.
Maybe David Stern had a restaurant reservation that he waited for 6 months to get, and he's like, "Look, schedule anything on May 9th because I'm out."
So let's talk about the real fun, okay? So they're 1-1. We'll see what happens tonight. Here's another series that's 1-1, and it's going back to Oracle, the Warriors, who, except for an 18-2 run, basically are destroying the Spurs in this series.
Yeah, they've won seven out of eight quarters.
How impressed were you with Klay Thompson? Not just offensively, and Mark Jackson said it too, his defense has been great in this series. Klay Thompson, game two, that was one of the best playoff performances I think we've seen in a long time.
Shout out to Michael Thompson, his father. And Klay Thompson. You know, this Warrior team is just a bad matchup for San Antonio. It's like that Grizzlies team of 2 years ago. Totally different style. But they're just running the Spurs around, and they're hitting their shots. And this is without David Lee. I mean,
no, if they had David Lee, I think they would win this in six, man.
This is unbelievable.
Give Bogut credit, right, who's been pretty much injured the most of the last two seasons. Bogut is stepping up and, you know, giving you like 8 points and nine rebounds, you know, a block and you know, setting nice picks and screens. You got to like that from Bogut, you know?
Well, look, they gave up Monte Ellis, and they basically said the great thing was that obviously Steph Curry, you know, can handle the point, and then the emergence of Klay Thompson last year. So they said, all right, let's make this trade from having the smallest backcourt and the thinnest backcourt in the league to now having some size up front. So when David Lee is healthy and Andrew Bogut is healthy, and if they can get something out of Harrison Barnes, you know, he's just a rookie, but
he's playing good though.
And he's playing fairly well. And again, when you don't expect him to be a star, when he's just a nice little role player, you know, I almost equate him to like a Derek McKee type. I mean, Derek McKee's a little bigger, 6'10", but
yeah.
But you know, you just get Harrison Barnes is a good, solid player. you know, the fact that he came in highly touted and at Carolina, they thought he'd be the next big thing, and it was a preseason All-America as a freshman without having played a game in college, that was crazy. But
he's had a solid, good rookie year.
Exactly. Just be a solid 6'7", athletic wingman. You know, that, and if you can get something out of your front court because their backcourt is fantastic, this team is hard to deal with. And so you're right, San Antonio's in trouble.
Well, and also, don't forget the veterans. I'm down with Jarrett Jack and Carl Landry. Those are some nice
veterans. He is hard. Another guy that's hard for them to go. He's too big for Tony Parker. He's kind of crafty. Tony Parker's having trouble defending, right, because Steph Curry is getting him and Jarrett Jack's getting him too. So these are two guards, and they play different games. So these are two guards that are hard to deal with.
And then when they go small, you know what is interesting, too? Look at – this is what's so great about the Warriors, right? This is the first team since they said the 90 Blazers to play in the playoffs for rookies because they have Azeli, Festus Azeli, coming off the bench playing backup center, giving them some minutes and rebounds. You've got Barnes and you've got Green, you know? And I forgot who's the fourth kid. I forgot who the fourth guy is. Oh, and Bazemore. And Bazemore's
right,
been playing
right,
some
right.
nice defense when he comes in.
Yep.
Yeah, no. He plays some nice defense. He's athletic. But this is what I'm saying. But Draymond Green, he's playing that 3-4 position kind of nice and really stepping up. And you know what's funny is that these guys – who's your guy from Blair from the Spurs? He can't come out and guard him. You know, so, but, you know, at the same time, look at the Spurs. Look at what Leonard, Danny Green, look what they did, you know, to come back and get the game one and almost get game two.
Yeah, but they can't keep digging themselves a hole, especially in a team that's this talented offensively. Because the problem with the Golden State Warriors is they'll run away and hide because they can come down and they've got legitimate offensive firepower. And if you try to double-team Steph Curry, he's a good enough passer. Well, he'll find the next guy. And Jarrett Jack can create his own shot. Harrison Barnes is kind of that three-point shooter, mid-range, you know, baseline type of game. And even Draymond Green's been hitting some big threes. So this team is a team that the Spurs are having trouble dealing with. And I tell you what, the Spurs should be down 2-0, and I wouldn't be surprised. Look, we both picked the Spurs to win the series, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Spurs, you know, they'd be happy to split at the Oracle and go back to 2-2. But you know, hey, the Spurs
are you
need
a little
to watch
shocked
out.
When you watch them?
3-1.
Are you a little shocked? Like I figured without Lee that it would be very hard this matchup for the Warriors, and it's like it's not hard at all. It's almost like these guys have come, you know, they're coming of age at the perfect time, and it seems like Curry and Thompson are just so clearly dominating Parker and Ginobili that it's not even, you know, it's almost like it's not even an issue for them. I'm a little surprised by that. I know, you know, Parker's been banged up and Ginobili's been banged up, but you know, Curry and Thompson have been injured this season as well, but they're balling out. Like, and give Mark Jackson credit, right? Everybody talks about Thibodeau, Vogel, Pop, George Karl gets Coach of the Year, you know, and our boy Woodson was third, which is good this year. You know, Woody deserved that, and congrats to George Karl. But, you know, give Mark Jackson some credit. He is coaching his behind off, and I think he's making that statement that, you know, like, look, I'm going to be respected. I am a good coach, just like I was a good point guard, you know. Don't sleep on me.
Very
basically.
Good. You know, it was third all-time leading assist man in NBA history. You got to be pretty good to be the third best at anything in league history.
Yeah, no, I know. That's Mark, you know. You know, I still
I know,
but don't you still miss when he – I liked it when he was at New York with Ewing and Patino and even Strickland. I just think we broke up something we shouldn't have never broken up. But that's neither here nor there. So let's talk about Saturday's games.
Let's go.
Amari's coming back. Knicks Pacers, Amari's coming back. Game 3 in Indiana. The series is tied 1-1. You know, Knicks had a big game. Shumpert's looking, you know, good offensively. Melo's scoring, even though he's shooting horribly. But J.R. Smith, is J. Smith sort of like for John Starks, the same initials, J.S.? What's going on? Because he's shooting like Starks did against the Rockets in Game 6 and Game 7. 4 for 15, 3 for 15. I mean, Starks was like 3 for 18. But, I mean, it's ridiculous.
The Knicks have to live with it because until Amari comes back and can give you that number 2 scorer productivity, they need J.R. Smith. They need J.R. Smith. He's the only guy that can create his own shot. Felton a little bit, but that's it. Everybody else is a dependent shooter. So Novak spots up. Your boy Copeland doesn't get enough run. We can talk about that again. But Jason Kidd's a facilitator. Tyson Chandler's a finisher. You know, Kenyon at this point in his career is just a finisher. So at the end of the day, the Knicks only have J.R. Smith to get their own shot. That's why Amari is pretty important. Because he gives you size, he gives you some front court. You always want more defense and more rebounding out of him. But offensively, what it does is it takes the pressure off of J.R. Smith because right now the Knicks are limited. And don't let Carmelo have a bad game because if Carmelo and Smith are having a bad game, then you're just shooting, you're just putting up long range, you know, 15, 20 footers.
And they depend on him so much. He's averaging 29.2 in the playoffs. Second to Durant's 33.2. I mean, that's, you know, you got to have Melo scoring. And, you know, they say Amari is going to play maybe 15 to 20 minutes, you know, and then we'll see Monday in game 4 if that increases. But, you know, I got to tell you this, though. I think Amon Shumpert, with that dunk, I think his confidence in his legs, his power is coming back. I think Shumpert's going to have to be a little bit more aggressive offensively and start to get some points.
Okay. Well, he's the only other guy that just on raw athletic ability can maybe present some matchup problems. You know, the Indiana guards are pretty good defensively. They're not, you know, they're not great offensively.
Offensively, they're a nightmare. They're horrible.
Right,
George Hill, Augustine.
Good.
Yeah. But they can't shoot. Hill, Augustine. I mean, Stevenson had his one great game in the free game one with the double-double, but, you know.
Augustine had a good game, too, though. So,
he had a couple.
Ball, you know, and he's inconsistent.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. But at the end of the day, you're right that Iman Shumpert is that other guy that potentially could do some things, you know, for the Knicks. Again, to take a little bit of this pressure off of J.R. Smith.
Yeah, no, definitely. So then, and I think the Knicks, I could see them splitting in Indiana. I think the Knicks will win game 3, but I think it's tough for the Knicks. I think this is going to be, I'd say Knicks in 6. I think it's probably going to go 7, but I just think the Pacers, even though they can't score and the Knicks blew them out like that, I think the Pacers defensively will play a lot tougher and game 3 is going to be rough. And the Knicks, I think the Knicks will win, but it's going to be a dogfight come Saturday, you know, back in Indiana. And that crowd is going to be hyped. And then what do you think about the Grindhouse? Are you ready to go to the Grindhouse?
That's what we need to have our next Ray and Tay episode. We need
to
go to
the Grindhouse. Get some Memphis
barbecue. Exactly, and then head out there.
Should we be writing apology letters to Mr. Conley? I think I need to get a number 2 pencil.
Yes, because
somebody is playing some basketball.
Also, that whole Memphis team, we were killing them for not having Rudy Gay. And granted, they got an excellent matchup. I mean, excellent. They're still a number 1
I think
seed.
They'd still be where they're at right now with Rudy Gay, though, to be fair.
Right. Okay. Well, that's TBD, right?
Yeah.
They're a lot better, you know, sort of defensively, half-court defense with Tayshaun and Conley and obviously Tony Allen locking them, you know, locking down the defenders. But at the end of the day, this comes down to you. I think you know what you get out of Memphis. The question is going to be, which is ironic because usually the number one seed doesn't have to adapt. But the question is, how is Oklahoma City going to evolve without Russell Westbrook, right? Is this going to be Durant or bust? Is Durant going to be, you know, your scorer, or is he going to be your scorer/facilitator? Is he LeBron James? Is he basically, you know, going to have to play a fantastic fourth quarter every, you know, is he going to have to carry the team for all four quarters?
The pressure's on him. He's got to score 30 every game. He has to. 33 he's averaging. He's going to have to do that every game. Because I don't think, look at Martin, right? He gives you the 25, and then he comes back with 6. So when you you know, he's sort of like that. And Cephalosha doesn't score.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he's
and
a defender. Then, he can hit some threes, but he's a defender.
Right, right. And you can't – Ibaka's inconsistent. Perkins doesn't do it. You can't depend on Fisher and Reggie Jackson. There's no other scorers.
Yeah, too old and too young. Yeah, so they're in a tough dilemma. And that's, you know, that's one of the issues with this two-star model, right? Two superstar model, where if one of the superstars go down, it's tough. It's tough. It's a tough road because you also have to reinvent yourself, and Durant is in the process of doing it, so, you know, kudos to him. But
he's incredible,
it's not
though.
Easy. He really is.
Watching him play, he's like, yo, it's me, it's 105. You all want to play? Durant. This is one of the most heroic performances, though. You got to say that, Ray. When you watch them play, man, he'll get the rebound. He brings it up court. You know, he might throw one pass, and then he's like, all right, bring it back to me. And then he's just like, schwap. You know?
But here's the thing. He's not a selfish player. So he's a player that is, I'm trying to think, in NBA history, in the last 20, 30 years, taking out the big men, obviously, who get a lot of dunks. But he is such an efficient scorer. He is such a prolific, efficient scorer. Like, Carmelo Anthony scores, and he's a phenomenal talent, but he's not as efficient as Durant. Durant will score, and he has a nut on his team named Russell Westbrook who takes more shots than he does. And yet Durant seems to not take, like, he'll miss, but he doesn't take bad shots. He doesn't force shots. He is just a great, efficient scorer. And now,
he's pure,
In addition to doing that, he's got to do so much more. He's got to shoot more, and he's got to pass more, and the offense has to go through him. So it'll be interesting.
Like the kids in the commercial, we want more, we want more. More is better.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think this is a perfect transition.
Yeah,
so we talked about the
it
game.
Is. It definitely
let's
is. And let's have a little music with it. Let's talk about the NBA Hall of Fame. It is Hall of Fame Friday, baby.
Let's go.
Alrighty.
So let's do it this way. Let's go through the two matchups in the East, and then we'll go through two matchups in the West. And the idea is, let's try to figure out who on these current rosters are potential Hall of Fame players. Now, granted, for the younger players, we need to do a lot of projecting out. So, you know, if you're a rookie or a second-year player, it's hard.
Yeah, I
mean, you know, based
it
on
is
your
hard,
performance,
but
we still got to do it. You know, that's why they pay us the big bucks.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta go try and pontificate.
All right,
let's start
Chicago, Miami.
Oh, Chicago, Miami.
You
want to
start the next?
All right, you want to go there? Let's do that. No,
I was thinking
Chicago,
of the games
Miami.
Tonight, yeah.
Okay.
So LeBron and Wade, that's already done with.
Right. If their careers ended today, they'd be Hall of Famers.
I guess when we talk about the Heat.
Ray Allen.
Ray Allen's a Hall of Famer as well, so they have three currently. Let's talk about Chris Bosh. I guess that's where the conversation begins.
Yep.
And Bosh was a dominant 23-point-a-night scorer in Toronto by himself for 6-7 years. couldn't get the team anywhere, didn't have any help, though. But by himself at a sort of 4-5, well, really he was playing 3-4 there, more of a 4, was, I mean, he was good. He gave teams trouble. You came to Toronto, you knew against Bosch, you had to, you know, I think people forget when they see him in Miami as this third wheel, because he was like the lone gunman in Toronto.
He was on bad teams, though. So do you discount that? Because he was the star among stars on bad teams. And I hate to use this because it's kind of crude, but they, you know, when he signed on with Miami and they said, well, it's 2.5 men. You know, it's like LeBron and Wade, and then Bob. That's unfair, but it's clearly, you know, he's clearly a half a step behind those two, right? Those two are Hall of Famers that have carried their teams before, and so is he. But he's clearly in a, like, if he there.
So let's say for his career, he winds up being 17-8, I think. Is 17-8? Is he a Hall of Famer with 2 or 3 rings?
So that's the question. I think that he's consciously taken a step back statistically. Right, he's a guy that, like you said, will average at the end of his career. Every year, his career average is going to go down, right? Because he was averaging, you know, in his best years, he was averaging 22. Here, I'm pulling up his stats: 22.6, 22.5, 22.3, 22.7, 24. And then he comes to Miami and averages 18, 16. So, he, by virtue of playing on the Heat, he's taking a step back statistically.
Right.
I think that the key to Chris Bosh's candidacy is rings. So if he wins two, he's on the fence. And if he wins three. If he wins three and he's a critical part
especially
of three rings.
Especially because at the end of the day, it'll probably wind up being close to like 18-7 instead of 17. 18-7 is pretty good with three rings. That sort of McHale range.
Right. Right now he's at 19.5 and 9.
Wow.
But again, this year he averaged 16.6 and 6.8 rebounds. So his stats are coming down every year. And he's going to
All right.
Get
so
older.
Basically, we're saying Miami has got 3, possibly 4 Hall of Famers.
Yep.
Now let's go to Chicago. D. Rose, we can't even talk about, but he if he's healthy and plays like he was, he's a Hall of Famer, without a question. He's already an MVP, and
yeah, anybody that's won an MVP has got 1 foot in the door.
Yeah,
the Hall of
I don't know, honestly, Ray. I don't know if they'll get any rings. And when you look at Boozer, Noah Gibson, the only other person you could think of on that team is Dang. They don't have any Hall of Famers. They
the
just have D. Rose.
The only exception could be
Rip Hamilton. Is Hamilton a Hall of Famer?
I don't think Rip's a Hall of Famer. Noah. If they don't win any rings, it's tough. But if Noah gives you the effort and the defensive presence, and if he wins a Defensive Player of the Year, maybe one, maybe
which
two,
he could.
And Rose gets healthy and they win a ring, because of the weakness of the center position in this era, and if he's able to dominate,
that's an interesting point.
And really be one of the only true, you know, dominant centers, especially on the defensive side of the ball. He's got an outside chance. Again, it depends on winning.
The scoring has got to stay up, though. Now this in this playoff, injured, he's averaging 2.6 blocks a game and like 11 rebounds or so. So, I mean, Noah is, you know, he's balling out playing injured. So, you know, like 10.5 rebounds. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to say Noah's a Hall of could be a Hall of Famer.
No,
but okay,
he needs a lot of work, but
much
work to do, but I'm just saying he was one of those guys that look, it's Chris Bosh's to lose, right? Chris Bosh should probably make the Hall of Fame if he maintains his trajectory. I'm saying Noah has to step it up, but he's the only other guy on that roster. I don't think Luol Deng is a Hall of Famer. I think it's basically Rose and possibly Noah.
Okay, so Spurs.
We left
big Carlos three.
Boozer off, but I think that, you know,
Boozer's not a Hall of Famer.
Big work, yeah. So wait, let's keep it in the East. Let's keep it in the East. Okay. Let's just keep it in the East. Let's just keep it simple.
Okay,
so the East is Knicks and Pacers now.
Well, Knicks, it's Melo. I don't know. Yeah, I guess
Melo
Amari.
Melo and Kidd.
Well, Kidd, yeah. Jason Kidd is already, that's a wrap. I guess Amari, he's put in enough years, but he needs one or two more really good seasons, I think, and I just don't know if he'll be able to get that. Because what did he do,
Amari,
9 and Phoenix?
Now, this is why we did this debate. Do you think that Amari Stoudemire is a Hall of Famer?
I have to say yes.
Assuming he finishes his career with New York, you.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, you know why? Because in Phoenix, he didn't have any center. And he challenged all of them cats by himself and got them to the Western Conference Finals. Really, if it wasn't for the crazy referee stuff, might have beat the Spurs that year. He battled Duncan. He battled Garnett. He battled Wallace. Like, he was out there in the West battling. Even when he was young, he was battling, the last part of – Weber, Garnett, Wallace. I mean, Amari's 9 years in Phoenix were ridiculous.
But then again, everybody's stats in Mike D'Antoni's system was ridiculous. Not that.
Yeah, but it wasn't just the stats. Like, it's how he played. He was dominating. I don't know. Really think about it. Amari was a wilder. I mean,
That's what got him. The max contract with the Knicks, and that's.
I need out of Amari. I need two more years at least of 18-8. I need 18-8 for two more years.
I need some kind of playoff success.
I need. You know what? You're right. Okay. So how about jewelry? He gets one ring. I think that puts him over the edge. They could somehow get past that Heat team and win one. I think that puts Amari over.
Well,
and
he's
got to
contribute, right? Because he really hasn't done.
Well, yeah. I don't mean just like, he's just like getting a sandwich, I don't mean, he's not just. Yo, let me get a thing of rye. Yo. I'm not talking that. I'm saying Amari got to put some work in.
Okay.
Put your work in, Amari. So let's say, that's three for the Knicks. Is there anybody else? No JR, no Tyson Chandler.
Well, Tyson Chandler, I guess the only thing is if he wins another ring, he'll have two defensive player of the year, in a weak center position.
Nah, but you're not going to just look at it for his era. He's still going to be compared against centers all time.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I would say three for the Knicks, two and possibly three. There's no Kenyon Martin. There's no other, veterans, just Kidd, no Felton. So the Pacers. Yikes. Paul George.
Possibly Danny Granger, depending on how he comes back.
Yeah, possibly.
You wrote off Danny Granger already?
No, I don't want to write him off already, Ray. But I don't even think, because I didn't like his defense. I didn't think he was. Paul George is already, to me, this year, all around, a better player.
Paul George led
the Pacers in almost in every category in that Atlanta series. Paul George is nice.
Scottie Pippen type.
Yeah, he was Scottie Pippen it. He was like 95 Pippen. Yeah, no, not 95. I'm sorry, 97 Pippen, or 93 Pippen. Pippen ain't
the years that Jordan wasn't there. So it was 94,
95, and then 95, 96. Yeah, 94 Pippen. Okay, so let's go west.
Let's go out west.
The Spurs, the big three. Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker, all three of them are Hall of Famers.
So you think for sure that Ginobili's a Hall of Famer? Because I've heard some people say that he's not, but I would definitely say he is. Three champions.
I have to say he is because of the clutch factor, the winning, and the defense. The defense. He plays D. He's a hustle player. He does.
And he sacrifices for the team, right? He came up to Popovich and said, look, you need me off the bench? I'll go off the bench. No problem.
I mean, how many superstars are willing to do that?
Right, and three rings.
And three ring, yeah. I don't think there's a question. And there's just nobody else on that roster. I don't think, you know, to me, Duncan, the question is, and we talked about this off air, in the top 10. So you have the big three centers, Russell, Chamberlain, Jabbar. You have Jordan. You have, you know, LeBron, Magic, Bird, Shaq, Duncan. How do you, what's the order of those, like, 10, like the top 10 best players? And then, you know, do you throw Durant climbing in there and Melo? It's going to be interesting, you know. Just I'd tell you, we're going to have to do a top 10. We're going to have to just sit down one show and just chew on this top 10 of all time. That's what we're going to have to do.
Right. And then if Duncan wins the fifth ring,
well, that's
how
what
does
I'm
that
saying.
Change?
Yeah. Do you put Duncan, you know, those big three centers, is Duncan ahead of Magic? Is Duncan ahead of Kobe, you know? Because if you say it's Jordan and then the three centers, then who's the fifth best player in NBA history? Is it Duncan, Kobe, or Magic? And that's an interesting debate.
Right, and then LeBron with his four MVPs. And
about
his,
to climb right up in there.
Second championship.
About to slap through that glass door
in
a minute.
I mean, in 10 years, we talked about this before, but it's worth restating. In 10 years, he was the best player in the NBA for four of those 10 years. So 40% of his career, he was the best player in the league. In a league that's got a lot of great players.
A lot of great players. CP3, Durant, all these cats. So, okay, so let's finish up. So we said the three with San Antonio. Golden State, hey, I'd love to project out Curry and Thompson. I just don't know about anybody else. You know, David Lee's putting up great numbers.
Yeah, he needs playoff success because those great numbers are fine, but at the end of the day...
I'll put my money on Curry, though. How about that? I'm going to put my money on Curry. I'm not sure about Thompson. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, it's too soon to sell about Thompson, but, yeah, I would say on that roster, Steph Curry is the guy.
And then OKC, obvious, Westbrook and Durant. Fisher is not a Hall of Famer, and there's nobody else.
Rings?
Fisher's not a Hall of Famer.
I'm playing devil's advocate.
I'm sorry. He's not. Ibaka, I don't think so. He'll have a nice career, but he's not better. You know, he's like a Horace Grant. You know, he's just in. He'll be a special player, but not a. And then, so OKC has two, and then Memphis. Can Zach and Gasol make the Hall of Fame?
You know,
if they get a ring, it could change how you look at them.
Yes, I was about to say that because Gasol just won his. Even though you didn't like it, but Gasol won his Defensive Player of the Year. You know, they have a stretch where they have a roster that you look up and if you take those two out of the roster, I mean they're playing with role players. And even though Mike Conley's having a good season, he's you know the 12th, 13th best point guard in the league. I mean he's maybe 10th, but. Those two together, and maybe their careers now become linked, right? And you look at them together. Zebo in the beginning of his career and towards the middle of his career put up nice, solid stats. Didn't really do much. You know, he was in Portland, and they had that horrible Portland team.
Yeah,
and they
but
all
he's been
apart.
An all-star the last, you know, 2-3 years. He's playing like a stud.
Yeah, he's a throwback player. You're right. If they were to win a championship,
especially if they won this year. If they beat this Heat team, Ray, Jackson, you're going to have to look at the Memphis Grizzlies. Zebo and Gasol, we have to sign them up for two.
The Grizzle.
The Grizzle.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then I don't think they have anybody else, right? Conley and Tony Allen. Nobody really projects out to be. Even Tayshaun Prince has himself a ring, but he's not, you know, he's not Hall of Fame.
No.
Type of player.
He's not Hall of Fame. So, yeah, man. Well, listen, that's good. Let's just real quick, you know, we're about to wrap it up. We definitely got to touch on some baseball. Let's just give some love to the first place New York Yankees in the AL East. It's a beautiful thing. What are they, 20-11? I mean, they're 18th in runs scored in baseball. So it's been mainly pitching. So I don't know if they can pull this off without Jeter, Granderson, the whole, you know, crew for so long. But you got to like what the Yankees are doing and just how they're doing it. You know, you bring in Vernon Wells and all these other, like, you know, just nobody guys. And kudos to the Yankees, man.
Travis Hafner. You know, the Yankees, and Mariano Rivera got his 13th save. I mean, talk about that guy. He shouldn't even retire. He should rescind his retirement offer. He's like, look, I'm not retiring. I'm just going to play until my arm falls off. But, yeah, the Yankees, you know, the Yankees are surprising. I mean, it, look, Yankees, Baltimore, Boston are basically tied in first place.
Yeah.
But,
so that's,
but that's very, yeah, that's very interesting. And you know, going through the Central, right, you got Detroit and Kansas City. And even Cleveland,
yeah. give it's hanging in there, 18 and 14.
Yeah. Give your boy some credit. The skipper, he comes out
Detroit's
of the
Detroit's only a half a game up on KC, right?
Yep.
So that's interesting.
And Cleveland's right behind them. So, you know, right now, the wild card is, you know, looks like it would be, what, four teams for two spots. So let's say the Yankees are obviously half a game ahead, but Baltimore, Boston, Kansas City, and Cleveland would all be fine for two wild cards.
Right there.
And then even Minnesota is only a game and a half out. So, yeah, it's tight. But, you know,
and then give the Rangers credit in AL West. They're 21-13, got a nice lead. Oakland's 18-18. So a nice four-game lead over there for them. And, you know, the Rangers are doing it, like we said the other day, right, without Josh Hamilton. And they've proven to be strong. Then in the NL, how are you liking the Braves? They're holding on 21-13.
Yeah, I want the Washington Nationals team to wake up. I mean, I like that team. I picked them to go far.
They're two games back, 19-15. And how about the Mets? 14-17, playing better than most people thought. They're only 5.5 back. 452 ball. You know, they get some more hitting.
Harvey.
Harvey's great. What is he, 5-0 now?
And they're saying that Wheeler might even be better. So if you're a young Mets fan, you're thinking back in the days of, you know, Kuzman and Seaver and Nolan Ryan, you're like, wow, the Mets have a farm system. Or in the mid-'80s when they brought Doc up, you know, wow.
And the guys, and they got that 86 ring. And then the Central, listen, no one will ever stop the Cardinals. The Cardinals are 21-12, ladies and gentlemen. The best record in baseball, 636. Give them credit. The Cincinnati Reds are waking up now. They're 19-16, but they're looking like they, you know, once Cueto gets healthy again and, you know, gets everything going, I think they'll be fine. And how about the Pirates, 18-16, playing some decent ball. You know, you just always feel sorry for Cub fans, 13-21. And then the NL West, maybe one of the strongest divisions. How about the Dodgers at last place at 13-20? Wow.
Wow.
And the defending champs.
Did you pick them? I picked them to win the NL West. Did you as well?
The Dodgers,
yeah, I think you picked the Dodgers Giants. I picked Dodgers Arizona.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then I had Dodgers. And then I had the Arizona as the second wild card, but because I was gonna go with the I have the Braves. Yeah, I had Dodgers. No, yeah, I didn't go with the Giants. I think I went Dodgers Arizona. So, well, the Giants and Arizona. Arizona had a nice win last night, beat Philly, and they're both 20-15 in the NL West. So, you know, watch out for Arizona. Ian Kennedy pitches tonight. And what's interesting, last night they got Ryan Howard out from a 4-3. So he hit it, and the right fielder came up, Pennington, got the ground ball, and threw Howard out at first. That's kind of embarrassing. It happens so rarely to see the right fielder throw out the first, you know, throw you out at first. But it actually did happen.
J.J. Putz is now injured. They thought it was season-ending, and now it might not be season-ending. Got some elbow problems. So they might have some issues at the back end of the rotation.
Yeah, well, you know, Reynolds and Heath Bell and the different relievers have been doing okay. So they've been doing okay. But you know what? Nothing's worse than being a Miami Marlin at 10-25, ladies and gentlemen. The worst record in baseball. Or tied.
I don't care about the baseball
tied with
team.
Houston.
I care about the fans. I feel like the fans were bamboozled. And they were, you know, they won a championship in 07, broke it up. Won a championship in 03, broke it up. Did all this fancy, you know, dress up, played this game of dress up, got the new stadium, and now they have a horrible franchise.
It's just not right. So, listen, great show. We'll be back on Monday, and might have a nice little ESPN guest for you, talking some hoops, so we'll see. And let's go Knicks. We'll see what happens tonight with the Heat and all these battles. And watch out for the Warriors.
Yeah, go enjoy the weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all your mothers out there listening.
That's right. Happy Mother's Day. That's right. To our mothers out there. And, you know, I'm going to wish my wife Happy Mother's Day. And, enjoy the weekend. Thanks for listening and talking sports with friends. Ray and Tay today.
We're out.